sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 174. My city found me. Okay, this one is it's gonna be a short one, a short verse. I can feel the changes. I can feel new people around me. Just wanna be famous. You can see that my city found me.
Message!
Then put me on stages. To me, that's amazing. To you, that's a quick check. With all disrespect, let me just say this. I am a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. I said, bitch, don't kill my vibe. I said, bitch, don't kill my vibe. I can feel, okay, you know, that's not what we do in this show. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir. Sorry, I nearly forgot that last one. All right, giggles aside. Hey, before I start the show, I need to inform you, you new listeners, and remind you returning listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thought, which means it's protected by the red, the black, and the green, in collaboration with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question, are you an outcast? I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Check this out. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 23, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. You know, while I was recording that last part, I was thinking, I wonder what letter F for Fuck Whitey is that I think I should do like using hand signs to do that. Is it called hand signs? I know it's a language. But you know, when you use your hands to talk to other people, it's hand sign, right? Whatever. Okay. Now, if you can't tell, there's a slight change of tone in my voice. For you returning listeners, well, you'll notice that. To you new listeners, you're going, oh, man, does he always sound like that? No. We're close to summertime, if it's not summer already. And B Black might be starting a cold. I say might be. Well, tradition, every time I feel like I'm coming on with a cold, I drink pho. I get some pho, right? With a lot of hot sauce. Because it drains it. Anyways, and I drink a lot of fluid. So much fluid that I cannot be in a car because I always need to go to the washroom. Anyways, two things. I feel like a cold is coming on, and I'm really tired. I'll explain in a second. Actually, maybe I should explain myself. The reason why today's episode was delayed is because last night I stayed up to work on my resume to apply for these two positions in the government. They call them competitions. And it's a long journey. Anyways, I stayed up a bit late, but it's not the staying up a bit late that messed with me. It's more the fact that it's summer, and I forget that I get less sleep during the summer because the goddamn sun. Something about the sunset, even though my curtains are closed, the sun, it's like, hey, you want to come out and play? Hey, and I just wake up. I try to go back to sleep, but it's not the same quality sleep. But my body is like, yo, fuck that. Get your punk ass out of bed. And it's like 5 in the morning or 5 or 6 in the morning. I'm like, bro, I got 2 more hours. 3 if I'm working in the office, if I'm working from home. Anyways, long story short, this is what this podcast is about. Okay, I'll be honest with you, man. Because it's my goddamn podcast, I could do shit like this. When I get a cold, everything stops. Fuck the world, man. The Middle East needs to put their differences aside and focus on my cold. Everyone on Earth, I don't know what you're doing. Are you fucking? Stop fucking. I want you to send your thoughts and prayers. If you got some home remedies, send them over. But I need your pity. I need you to be like, oh, poor you. Oh, man. Or whatever. Yeah, it's shit like that. Anyway, so I'm on a lower energy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm on a lower energy today. I did consider not posting, but I remember writing the words, it will be available this afternoon. And I don't want to get into the habit of, you know, lying to you people, you know? I mean, I did make a promise to not treat my audience like a girl I'm trying to fuck. But at the very least, I want to have like an honest relationship with you. I'm trying to have an honest relationship. Anyways, so I'm telling myself this is going to be a shorter episode than usual. I'm telling myself that, but you know me. Once I get the talking, next thing you know, then so you know, we're overtime. All right. Where are my manners? Okay, my bad. For you new listeners, just to help you get familiar with how I do things on this podcast, I break down my episodes into 3 parts. Acts. I call them acts, if you will. First act is the intro. Second act is the news and random thoughts. And the final act is final thought. Final thought usually relates to the title and whatever verse I recited at the beginning of the episode. Yeah, in the intro, so far in the intro, what you've heard is the theme song, me saying the title of today's episode, reciting some verse by the great poet Kendrick Lamar. And then, you know, greetings and all that shit and a warning to white people. Yeah, that warning at the beginning, it's like it's warning for, I mean, it's for everyone, but a lot for white people to be like, yeah, this is not a safe space for your white fragility. But another thing I like to do in the intro is, another thing I like to do in the intro, actually, that was kind of a freestyle, me explaining to why this episode was delayed. That's new. I don't usually do that. Usually I just get into the show, but I felt the need to cry about the fact that I'm sick, all right? And Be Black needs your pity. Actually, money would be better, but yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. I'm sick, all right? I got one of those, what they call a man's cold. All that means is like, yeah, man. Mommy. You know, or whoever. All right, intro. Oh, right. Okay, one last thing I like to do in the intro is share a thought. And today's thought is about healing. And I'll let the content creator from TikTok, their name is Journeys of G. Oh, that's a nice name. Journey of G. Anyway, here we go.
Okay, I need to say this.
Say it.
Healing is not becoming the best version of yourself. Mm. Healing is letting the worst version of yourself be loved. So many of us have turned healing into becoming this super perfect version of ourselves. That is bondage, right? That is anxiety waiting to happen. Healing is saying every single version of me deserves love, deserves tenderness, deserves grace. When we get to a place where we see and can empathize with every version of ourselves, even the version of ourselves that we can sometimes be ashamed of, That's when we know we're walking in a path of healing.
What? You know, I, as I was playing this, I realized that that's what part of what this podcast is about. I say part because I need to give some more reflection, but overall arching theme of this podcast is healing. Now, what makes me so special? I don't know. It's because I'm a black male or a male, and we don't talk about that kind of shit. Healing's not usually a conversation that we have or shit that we give a fuck. Yeah, healing. And I'm really, shout out to Journey of G. Wait, Journeys of LG, I'm sorry, for sharing that. All right, yeah, healing, all right? Hold on to that word, healing. All right, let's jump to use a random thought, and yeah, and then yeah, basically let's get the show started, all right? You motherfuckers ready? Yeah, all right, let me feel some energy. Because I ain't got it. All right, let's go. Let's go. Wow, man, that sounds corny. Whatever. My goddamn podcast. Okay, we took care of healing. All right, first things first. A bit of humor. Let's talk about Diddy's recent apology. Instead of talking about it, I'm going to play a clip by Francesca Ramsey, content creator Francesca Ramsey. And, you know, this might be one of those clips that's better watched than heard. But well, fuck it. Let's just go.
Let's make a narcissist apology from scratch. First, we need a giant heap of self-loathing because this is difficult for you. Next, use vague ingredients like my behavior or my actions. You'll need 3 tablespoons of I was in a dark place with a pinch of rock bottom. No narcissist apology would be complete without some chopped gaslighting. Remember before today, this was a smear campaign, but now that there's video, you're disgusted and sorry. Next, let's add some self-deprecation. The more the better. I'm disgusted with myself. I'm so embarrassed. I don't recognize that person. Now, while this recipe includes the word accountability, don't worry, it's actually accountability free. Remember, this recipe is for our audience, not the victim. Mm-hmm. Lastly, we're going to top this off with everyone's favorite deflections, therapy, rehab, and God. That smells like bullshit. Once you're done, you can scoop all of this directly into the trash, right where it belongs.
You know, I'm really happy I shared this video. I thought she was going to say that's what I meant by better heard than better viewed than heard. I thought she was going to say it was a song. I completely forget. Look, my brain is on 75% at best right now. So, yeah. Apparently, there's a study about people who haven't been vaccinated have been crashing cars a lot. I've been getting into accidents. And it sounded weird at first, but I remember COVID like caused your brain to go foggy and shit. But I don't know, whatever. That's not the point. Oh, my gosh. Shout out to Francesca Ramsey for articulating the words I was unable to find or to articulate with respect to Diddy's recent apology. I'm far beyond disgusted. I'm just angry, man. Diddy's apology just made me hate that feeling of giving the wrong people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I should have seen it coming. And what makes me angry about his apology is not just that he hit a woman, not just that he hit Cassie, he hit his girlfriend. Not just that. Not just that he modeled himself to be like a model man. Like, you would, not just that. I mean, no, it's all the above. Add that, and how, like Francesca said, after he was accused of hitting her, he turned it into a smear campaign. Man, this bitch just wants my money. This motherfucker. You know? Anyways. I should probably, I don't know, Might not be relevant or might be relevant, but I haven't been in therapy in a bit, so you can't tell, you probably can't tell, but there's a lot of rage right now. There's a lot of anger, pent-up anger in me. And you know what? Okay, next time this happens, I think I'm going to find some happy content because I'm just going to make myself pissed off. But yeah, so all right, I'm gonna end this with fuck Puffy. Fuck him. All right, long kiss, good night. Fuck him. All right, okay, next item. Okay, this one here is going to make me sound like, probably going to make me sound like a party pooper, but no, I like new ideas, and I like when someone makes me question things that we usually do and don't bother giving it any thought. Like, for example, it's normal, especially if you look at the commercials, it's normal to want to get, oh, not just commercial movies, but it's normal to hang out with friends and get blackout drunk. It's been normalized, right? It's part of society. And if you're going to be the asshole who feels like, you know what? Drinking is not cool. Like, if you're like, I used to hang out with, my cousin was Muslim. Not Muslim, sorry. He didn't drink alcohol, sorry. Oh, my God. What I was trying to say is my cousin didn't drink alcohol, but I also had Muslim friends who didn't drink. And they were the ideal, and they were glad to be the DD driver, right? And, but I remember looking at him and being like, oh, you're just weird. Why the fuck aren't you drinking? As opposed to be like, how is he not the normal one and you're the weird one following everyone else drinking? Anyways, this content creator, name is Mike Mancusi. Mancusi, sorry. But I apologize if I mispronounce your name. Mancusi. C'est langue anglaise, see. Mancusi. That's how I pronounce it in French. He's going to share thoughts about why is everyone getting sober? And here we go.
I've seen a lot of posts going around about why everybody's getting sober, and I'm going to explain to you why this is happening. It's because we're getting smarter as people. Like, I know it doesn't feel like it a lot of the time, but we are. And we're coming to the realization that it's a very strange thing that we've normalized in our society, that we can consume a poison to the point of vomiting or blacking out, and then just wake up and go, LOL, that was sick, bro. It's like, no, it's not. It's a poison. That's a hard stop. That's what it is. Right. It's burning every organ it touches on the way down. It's causing a litany of mental and physical health issues. It causes addiction. It destroys families. It's terrible. And if any other substance did those things, we probably would be like, hey, you probably shouldn't consume these. Like, if that's what apples did, if apples made you black out and punch somebody in the face for no reason, we wouldn't be like, hey, you should go pick up some apples for your kids this week. It's a crazy thing that we've normalized. And again, I'm not like totally anti-alcohol. Like, I have a couple of drinks with my friends every couple of weeks and I loosen up and I feel good and that's that. But when you really lay out the pros and the cons of drinking and not drinking, The cons are endless. And the pros are like, oh, you can be kind of socially cool for a few hours. The cons are it hurts your organs. It hurts your brain. It causes you to do very foolish stuff that can hurt your relationships. Yep. You can get horribly addicted to it and cause issues that don't even exist and hurt all of your loved ones. Versus the pro of like, we're loosened up. And especially as you get older, it becomes a lot less cool. Like when you're young, yeah, it's kind of cool to be an idiot and it's fun. And oh, I went out and I ate Domino's at 3 a.m. and I got in a fight for no reason and I broke up with my girlfriend. Like, oh, you know, that's funny. But as you get older, you know what's cool? Having your life together, that's cool. Waking up on a Sunday, not feeling like death, feeling like, oh, I feel good about myself. And I mean, I still hate myself, but like for unrelated reasons, you know, and I can do things today and I can get things done today and I can actually do things that I want to do and that I enjoy doing on this beautiful Sunday. Like, that's a wonderful feeling. And as soon as that became my every Sunday is when I was like, hey, maybe the poison isn't adding anything of value to your life. And I think that a lot of people, that's become the same way for.
Preach, brother. Preach. Again, I want to be clear. This is not, I'm not, and I agree with the author. This is not against drinking. If you want to drink, go for it. It's, you know, live your life. I'm looking at myself in the mirror and starting to question, why did being sober not feel normal? Why did being sober feel like the strange thing to do? Now, Younger me, I don't know, wouldn't object. Like, I can tell you for the most part, every time I've gotten drunk, it was, I want to say, no, not just peer pressure. A lot of time is because I was in the club and I was looking for courage juice. There was a lot of hot women around me and I didn't have the courage to, like, you know, imitate my favorite pickup artist. So I would drink. And what's funny is the one time that I did allow myself to, you know, I would drink and then allow myself to talk to girls, it didn't go well. Did not go well. So I would drink for nothing. It would be one fucking waste. It wasn't necessary. I mean, sure, the first few sips, the first few, like, one or two drinks, yeah, sure, it's fun. But after that, it's just. Okay, I want to be clear. I'm not saying I regret drinking as a, you know, youngster, as a young person. But the older me is wiser. And one thing that I realized, the thing about drinking, it's not to having a good experience while drinking, is to be around people who, it's good company. I've noticed that. Especially at my age. I have a friend who's into scotches. And that I'm with. I mean, I could enjoy doing drink scotch. And the thing is, you're drinking scotch not to, like, get blackout drunk, but you are drinking to a point where you can't drive. But I mean, you shouldn't drive. But my point is, this friend is like good company. I enjoy him talk about scotch. We're drinking this and him breaking down the history and shit like that. And then as we talk about grown-up shit, the goddamn Democrats, you know what I mean? Think I got prostate cancer. You know what I mean? I'm just having sips here and there, whatever, right? But I don't really enjoy the feeling of drunk, tipsy, okay, but not like I'm going to be fucked up the next day. I'm going to have a headache today. I don't like drinking to that point. Or when my, yeah. Anyway, whatever. I guess I'm just... I feel like I'm preaching, and that's not my intention. I'm agreeing with homeboy, man. I'm agreeing with him, man. It's especially as you get older. This was one time I went to I was gonna bring up how I was in Dominican Republic, and I wanted to go to a resort that was a strip club that was off the resort. And to do so, I had to find courage. I just drank like a motherfucker. Because when I drink, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to make some stupid decisions. Now, I ended up going to that strip club, but let's just say I made some stripper. I probably paid for her to be able to move to Canada. Some shit like that, whatever. She made a lot of money. She got him a lot of money. Right over. All right, yeah. Anyways, something to think about, guys, boys and girls. Something to think about. All right, what next do I have? Did I not say it was going to be a short episode? Oh, okay, all right. I'm not going to play this clip, but I'm going to add this on news. And so apparently the ICC, Netanyahu and Hamas are like, you know what? Fuck it, let me just play it. Just because I can't explain. Here we go.
He's creating a false symmetry between the democratically elected leaders of Israel and the terrorist chieftains. That's like saying after 9/11, well, I'm issuing arrest warrants for...
You know what, fuck it. That's Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister, is the prime minister of Israel, and overall piece of shit. So if you've been hearing me talk shit about Israel, I've been really talking about him, his government, and... And the only, since the war, since October 7th, the smartest, the wisest thing I've heard him say was having me arrested for war crimes would be like arresting George Bush after 9/11 for war crimes. And I'm like, exactly. He finally fucking gets it. George Bush, there's still a lot of people pissed at the war crime he committed. And he said Israel in Iraq. A war based on a lie. Shout out to Jean Chrétien for not joining that war, for not being part of the coalition of the willing, whatever the fuck that the name of that crew was. But man, George Bush played us, and the thing is, he got away with it. And Benjamin Netanyahu is pretty much saying, hey, we want to get away with it too. I'm like, yeah, dude. And I see what's going on here. I mean, from my uneducated self here, I see how he's playing this like, fuck this. Y'all did it. We do it. We want to do it. And what's interesting is Israel is probably going to find out that, I think that's what's going to decide is, are we big enough to get away with war crimes like the United States did? I think this is what we're going to learn here. Do we have enough juice in this world to commit the same crimes the United States committed in Iraq and get away with it? We believe we can. And we got these motherfuckers in our pockets. I get the feeling they're like, look, you're gonna let us move forward with this genocide. War against Hamas, my ass. You're gonna let us get away with this genocide. Or else we're telling people what's going on. You know, I have no idea. I'm not just speculating, but I'm just speaking from my own understanding. The way this dude, Netanyahu, is going about this war, and the support that he's getting, it feels like, look, motherfuckers, you best have our back. Or else we're gonna have to tell people some shit. That's how it feels like. Like they got dirt on, like I'm shocked. And you know, I'm naive too, I'm also a dreamer, but I'm shocked that our prime minister is like, yeah, no. We down with the Zionists. Down with the Zion, whatever. Yeah, sorry. I was trying to remix Down with the King. Like a whole bunch of them, but yeah, man, fucking truth and reconciliation. What we did to the indigenous people of this country was fucked up. 7 days later, we're down. what's the word he said? We defend Israel's right to defend themselves. Fuck them savages. Look. I think my biggest thing is about this war is having these politicians who I thought had common sense be like, no, it's not genocide. No, whatever the fuck Israel is saying, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it's like. What? They were provoked. Oh, okay. Well, then they were provoked. Fucking Hamas. What is that kid I'm trying to make a joke here. what does that kid buried on under that rubble have to do with Hamas? Well, you know, what the fuck? Look. This feels a little too much like, yo, sprinkle some crack over Palestine. We need it. We have a right to defend. Look, I'm saying this war is bullshit. Granted, all war is bullshit. Can't be considered bullshit. But this one is... It's like I'd be less angry at this genocide. Not that I'm saying I wouldn't be angry at it, but I'm saying it would be less offensive if I weren't surrounded by people like our prime minister, the president of the United States, the motherfucker in England. All these people being like, no. It's a war against Hamas, and it's measured. Them kids had it coming. You know, like I said, the analogy I've been using, it's like the way Israel is going about this shit, I feel like I'm a child watching my uncle beat on his wife. And my parents are like, shh, don't say anything. No, we can't do anything. Look, man, your uncle has a right to defend himself. Well, I mean, kind of sounds like this is past beyond defense. This shit feels like abuse. And the worst is your parents are like, shh, stop looking. Hey, come on. Let's go read more pages of the Bible. Let's talk about Jesus. Well, what, you know. Anyways, and I got to watch my poor aunt yell, plead for her life. And yeah, it's fucked up, man. It's frustrating. Again, making myself angry. Okay, looking at the time. Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. Okay, yeah. So right now we're at fuck Puffy, and now we're at fuck Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, you know what? I'm not saying fuck Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm saying, yes, you're clicking. Yes, We kind of want to charge George Bush, but they won't let us. I say we as in the world would like to. If there was a God, there'd be like, if there was, if Judgment Day is real, like, I don't think it's going to work out too well for him. If Judgment Day is real. All right. Okay. What else do I got in here? Oh, not bad. Okay. All right. So I got one last item on the agenda, and I'm sick. I'm tired, but I'm pushing through this. But I wrote this. I said, I hate people. It's supposed to be, I hate people and taking shit personally. So I have like, I thought it was because I was hungry, but I have like this, I was in a bad mood this afternoon. And it just like the kind of mood that made me want to say, fuck therapy. Like, fuck this whole talking out your feelings. Fuck all that shit. Like, now I'm not a violent person. I have a short temper, but I'm not a violent person. I may talk like a violent person, but I am not a violent person. But I know what it's like to, like, give in to your rage and, like, and lose control. I know that, right? So I had a moment, the mood was bad enough for me to be like, fuck therapy and fuck this whole breathing in and breathing out. Like, I want to fuck shit up. I want to give in to my anger. I just want to like be reckless. And what's interesting is now that I think about, like, I'm journaling. I should write this shit down. Two things happened to me today that set me. And now I got to mention that I'm a highly sensitive person, and it's easy for me to go 0 to 100. I guess talking it out helps. Talking it out helps. So first thing that happened is had a conversation with my boss, and he was telling me how I needed to do something that I didn't want to do. And it's not him. What happened is I had an assignment to do, a task to do with another colleague, and I disagreed with an approach, or I disagreed with something this colleague wanted me, thought we should do. Think of it, it's like a group project, right? And she wanted to go left, I wanted to go right. And I remember trying to explain myself to, yeah, I don't think your way will work out, we should do it this way. I remember explaining myself, and this person not really paying attention to what the fuck I was, like, not giving any importance to what the fuck I was saying. It was like, like it was like pseudo-listening. It's like, Okay, now, here's why the fuck we're going right. Like, disagreements is, yeah, cool, right? But, and disagreements is natural, but it's, I guess it's how you come out that disagreement. And I'm saying, so long story short, we were, I thought we had reached a agree to disagree. Man. This person, homegirl, fucking decides to tell her boss. Her boss escalates it. And then his boss, you know, escalates to another level. I don't know why. And then basically the boss of my boss is talking to my, yeah, the boss of my boss is talking to him. And then it comes down to me. It's like, oh, bro, you got to do it. I'm fucking pissed. I feel bullied, right? Like, I feel, it bothers me that, yeah, I guess, yeah, I just feel bullied. And I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. But what's funny is, because my manager's explaining this to me, and then he's used the word, don't take it personal. What's funny is, in my mind, I'm like, you know what, you're right. In that moment, I'm like, you know what, okay, let me be mature about this shit. Let me talk, okay, you know what, you're right, blah, blah, blah. That's my rational mind. But my rational mind doesn't control me. Then it fucking, then I, you know, hang up the phone, and I'm like, fuck, don't take it personally. I just wanted to do it upset. I just wanted to do it the opposite. It's funny, I got myself to laugh at this shit, not in this perspective. Because he used the word, don't take it personally, it was like, it went in the back of my brain. I was like, yeah, okay, that's right, okay, let's stop making a scene in front of these white people, okay, cool. But then it's like, it was just, don't take it personally, don't take it personal, take it personal. Fuck that nigga. Fuck that bitch. And then boom, I'm in a bad mood. and a kind of bad boo where I'm like, man, I hate people. Fucking hate people. I hate being in these situations where I get bullied into do something. I feel bullied into doing something that I don't want to do. It's not just don't want to do, but I should have be able to say, nah, no thanks. Drop out. Anyway, so there's that that happens. Second thing that happened is we had a town hall meeting at work. And, you know, president was talking. And he was trying to explain how, yeah, we need you motherfuckers to get back in here to start working in the office three times a week. And again, I brought this up last week. Sometimes it's less the fact, like, you know, I can accept the fact that, yeah, you're the boss, right? But it's the bullshit. It's the fucking bullshit. Yeah, because, you know, we need you to collaborate, you asshole. I work with motherfuckers in all over the place. We don't meet in the same building. The people I need to meet with don't meet in my building. At this point, you just want asses in seats. But the worst part, because I thought this white man was about to say some enlightened shit. He starts bringing up the arguments people have brought up against how working from home, the benefits of working from home. And basically, he was trying to shit on working from home ain't that great. You want to be. Being in the office is cooler than being at home. And someone brought up the whole people of color, racialized. You know, it's like micro. Like, one thing I like about working from home is I've had to code switch a lot less. This asshole brings up. Sorry, he said, no, he's an asshole, but he says, that's my temper talking, calling him an asshole. He says, yeah, there's less micro. I mean, sure, there's less microaggression, but if you guys hide at home, how are we going to fix this microaggression? That fucking pissed me off. It's like, hey, asshole, I don't show up to work to fix the microaggression in your fucking work, in your fucking office space. I show up to work to do my job, not to teach white people how to be fucking civilized. Sorry, okay, all right, I'm tired. Let me calm down because I can feel my blood pressure getting hot and I'm getting warmer, getting higher, and I'm getting sicker. Remember, I'm tired. I'm running on E right now. But yeah, I said, man, just, so combine those two things. Don't take it personal. Don't take in this bullshit. And it just sent me in a fuck the world. I hate people. Even to the point where I'm like, fuck therapy. I don't mean fuck therapy, but I'm just saying, I'm describing an emotion right now. Now, for those who don't know me, I don't know, I'm not saying I'm going to get over it, but I'm just saying, this is my state right now. I'm sick. Here's the list. I'm sick. I'm tired. And I'm pissed off, man. If you're pissed, why are you laughing? Because, you know, it's either that or I'll burst out into tears. You know, this guy, this is going to be a fucked up fight on using random thoughts, but hey, it's my goddamn podcast. Yeah, that's what's on my mind. All right, you know what? Yeah, for me, I made it a shorter than usual user random thought. So let's go to, what's that fucking section? Oh, final thoughts. The final act, the last act, third act. And I get to go to bed and, you know, get some sleep. All right. I mean, and then publish this podcast and keep my promise to you guys. All right. Let's do this. All right. All right. Let's. Man, say it again. Let's. Okay, fuck that. Okay, let's go. Oh, my God. Forgot to mention, my head is, like, also hurting. Make sure I hit the record button because I hit pause to go grab a bottle of water. If you're sick like me, drink a lot of water, folks. Drink a lot of fluid. Fluid is good for you. All right, okay. One more time. Am I recording? Because it would really suck if I start talking. I'm not recording. All right, okay. Where was I? Right, okay. What's up with today's title? Now, the past few episodes, I've been quoting a lot from the book of Kendrick Lamar. And I guess if you were a Drizzy fan, you might accuse me of being a Kendrick Glazer. I like that word. You kids are funny with your terms. I've been, yeah, man. Ever since Euphoria, I've been, like, converted. Holy shit. I mean, I knew Kendrick was dope, but now I'm like, fuck, I'm about to be a disciple of this. Like, I've been listening to a lot of his music. Excuse me. It's funny. I'm listening to Euphoria, the diss track, and then YouTube Music says, hey, maybe you might like this song. Maybe you might like this song. Anyway, so, I must have been high when this came up. Not to say that I made a bad decision, but, meaning I was in my feeling, in my emotions. I was like analyzing lyrics, and the song by Kendrick Lamar, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, came on. And then I heard the line where he says, which I recited earlier, he says, I can feel the changes. I can feel new people around me. Just want to be famous. You can see that my city found me, then put me on stages. The real line that I want to capture is, my city found me, then put me on stages. Let it marinate. Let it marinate. You know what I used to like? What I've loved about hip-hop is the way these rappers would, like, shut out their cities. There was something amazing about that. And, I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, which one do I want to start with? I got my hatred of Ottawa, time in the Bay Area, feeling like a loser in my own city when I'm not. Okay, let's go. Okay, well, let's go in that order. Okay. My hatred for the city of Ottawa. I'm from Ottawa, if you can't tell. When I say that this podcast has been reported on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory, Ottawa was built, these crackers built their city on that part of Turtle Island. Born in Montreal, 5 years, moved to Ottawa. Right. And growing up as a teen, we all hated being from Ottawa. Maybe because, you know, not a lot of black people there. Shit was boring. You can count on Ottawa being the city that doesn't get, like, all your favorite rap artists or R&B artists will go to Montreal, Toronto. Cornwall, I'm kidding. Montreal, Toronto. And they're like, fuck Ottawa. And if we're lucky, they'll come. Basically, Ottawa was not a place to, how do I say this? Made embracing your blackness difficult. Right? So, it's not just that. But growing up, Ottawa just had a reputation of just being the city. It was a boring city. Everyone had a cool city except for us. So I had a resentment towards Ottawa. I resented the fact that that was the black kid in a sea of whiteness. And, like, you know, I was the odd man out. I joke about how I'm a 300-pound black guy, 6'1", and my biggest fear is standing out. In Ottawa, that's always been, even though, as much as I tried to fit in, I was always the odd man out. And I refused to embrace the fact that, yo, you stand out. I kept trying to fit in, and the city is like, nah, fuck that. You ain't like us. You ain't like us. Now, fast forward in my late early 20s, I'm on this journey to be a successful human being. Early 20s, this is like 90, after 95. So I graduated in 97, 98, year 2000. 2001, let's say, late 2000. I'm on a journey to being a successful human being. Everyone's got a .com there. Everyone's like creating websites that's making them rich. And in the early 2000s, this was like MP3 was becoming a big. I was starting to understand the internet. I had this passion where I wanted to be the person in the music business that uses the internet and combines the internet and music. This is before Spotify and all that shit. All I know is something great was going to happen, and I wanted to be involved with that. I remember telling myself that in order for me to do something great, I need to be among peoples who are great. I'm giving you a long story. Bear with me. It all relates to the idea of my city Shit, what's the title again? My City Found Me. Is it Made Me? Yeah, Found Me. So I moved to the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, because I thought that's where all the moves and shit is. I figured I'll go there and I'll rub up whatever magic they have. It'll rub off on me. So I moved to the Bay Area, and I remember I wanted to work for Napster. It didn't work out. The closest I got a phone call from Google, and they were looking for tech support people. And then, you know, I got a phone call, but didn't go further past that. Who else did I want to work for? Whatever, man. But I spent 2 years in the Bay Area. Now, Oakland is beautiful, but that's not the part that I talked about. Those 2 years in the Bay Area, I learned that, oh, man, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. No, that's a bad example. No, that's not what I meant to say. I learned that it's not the city that makes you, it's the people. It's not about the city, it's the people. There were a lot of moves and shakers. Like, when I was in the Bay Area, I met people who were complaining about their city, who were like, the grass is greener somewhere else. Like, it shocked me. I'm like, what the fuck? You don't like being part of San Francisco? You don't like being in San Jose? I was meeting people who would bitch about their city the same way I bitched about being from Ottawa. So that was my first observation. Two, recognizing that, like, I did meet some moves of shakers, and they had a network of people all over the world. And it made me realize, that was the moment I realized that, okay, it's not the city, it's the people. Like, if this city is great, it's because someone took it upon themselves to make it great. That's two. The third thing that happened, and that shocked the fuck out of me, and when I tell this story to you, is I ended up getting homesick while being in the Bay Area. Well, it helps that I was in the United States on a temporary visa, which means that I was, like, not a real citizen of the United States. On my temporary visa, in the back, there was a big, it was written, it's like, yo, your punk ass is in this country because we couldn't find another nigger with your apparently skill set. I was bilingual. They need someone bilingual. Well, someone who could speak French and English, whatever, right? We couldn't find, but as soon as these motherfuckers don't need you, you have 10 American days. 10 days, American ones, to get the fuck out of our country. And this was like shortly after 9/11, George Bush was in power. And I saw messages like, okay. I took that message seriously. So I had my job, got laid off from my job, and laid off from my job, and I remember I'm like, yeah, you got 10 days to beat it. My cousin was like, who I was staying with, he was like, nah, man, stick around, fuck it, just avoid immigration, find yourself another job, and then, you know, so you can renew your visa. But at that point, I was like so homesick, I'm like, I want to go back home, fuck it. It was the first time, it's amazing, it was the first time I recognized Ottawa as my home. I'm like, yeah, Ottawa sucks, but it's home. It was the first time that I came back to Ottawa and I had a love for Ottawa again. I acknowledged my Canadian citizenship because, you know, back in Canada, I'm actually a citizen. United States, I'm a fucking foreigner. Sure, I'm a citizen who gets told to go back to Africa, but that's another story. Anyways, so I come back to Ottawa with a newfound love for my city. I'm wearing the Ottawa t-shirts. I'm fucking rocking the sense, right? And what's amazing is, then the shit that I hate about Ottawa slowly started chipping at me again. But the real thing was, I think okay, as a teen, it was the fact that it was boring. I got over that. But what hit me was how fucking white Ottawa was. Now, I'm not saying I got a problem being around white people. What I am saying, I got a problem being around white people who are all like, there is no such thing as race. The white people who I don't want to listen to that to this podcast. The white people who are the reason why I have a long yet after my salutation, I'm like, yeah, F is for fuck whitey. Like, white people who are like, yo, the white man is the real victim. but I'm not racist. You know, like, I'm not racist, but I need to find a better way to describe the white people that I'm talking about. But it's like, they're soul-draining white people. Sorry. Anyways, I think it came back. Yeah, it did come back at me, right? It did come back as they were chipping at it. But no, that's not really excuse me. It did come back, the whole hatred of Ottawa, being from Ottawa, fucked with me. Hold on. Yeah. I don't know who that message is from, but, you know, not right now. Where was I? Yeah. What's the point you're trying to make? Right. Quick story. I guess I need to explain. The one time where what numbed my hatred of Ottawa, or probably dollified it, is when I got into comedy. And, I was proud to be a comedian from Ottawa. And a funny one at that. I was willing to, not proud, you talk shit about Ottawa, I'll fuck you up. Not, I'll embrace it. Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, Ottawa does suck. Yeah, go ahead. I'm in Toronto. Yeah, Ottawa does suck. Hate your city too, but yeah, Ottawa does suck. Yeah, I agree. But that's where I'm from. Fuck it, man. You dissing me too. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm from a boring city. You're right. Like, I'm not insecure about that shit. So, doing comedy in a way, helped numb the fact that it's from Ottawa until, some of the Ottawa white comedians started to do their white shit. Like, just doing white people shit. In Ottawa, there's a series of people who I used to call friends, only to realize that these assholes are just like one brochure away from joining the Klan or any white supremacist group. Because they always speak to, you know what, fuck this. We as white men have it the least. We're getting fucked over. Your nigger friend is gonna try to fuck you. I don't know what these white people are telling, but it's enough to get them back on the, you know what? I'm not racist, but these clans gotta suck. Whatever. Anyway, whatever, man. So, I guess, as I'm talking to you, I'm trying to rationalize this hatred. All I know is it's not, I don't think it's a healthy hatred. Like, it's the kind that I need to make sense out of. Holy shit, okay. I feel like part of what that hatred comes from in the last line that I just wrote is, I think Ottawa was making me feel, I'm not blaming, okay, sorry, and I know, okay, let me just say this statement and later I'll try to say something responsible. But I was feeling like a loser in my own city. And fast forward to today where I'm doing therapy, knowing that you're not a loser, knock it off. But there's something about this city that makes me feel like I'm a loser too. So what the fuck does that have to do with that line by Kendrick? I was thinking about that line when he says, my city found me and put me on stages. It made me think of how he credits his city for his success. And I guess it's like I'm, there's me trying to be mature, not be mature, but I think this hatred is the whole feeling like a loser. Like, I resent the city for calling me a loser, even if it's not or whatever, you know, whatever. Let's just say, for the sake of perspective, I feel like Ottawa's like, you ain't gonna be shit, so shut the fuck up. Let your white friend counterparts make it. Whatever. There's something about this city that's making me feel like I'm the loser. It doesn't help that in this city, surrounded by people who I feel like don't understand me. And when I say this, because it's a conservative town. It's like, yo, fit in or shut the fuck up. I'm told Vancouver might be a better city for me. Whatever, who knows? But I'd be going back on the West Coast. I don't know about that time. Whatever. Sorry. You're not wrong with the West Coast. But I'm just I know I'm not a loser. But I guess I need to come to terms with this idea of feeling, why do I feel like this city is making me feel like a loser? I admire the way when Kendrick says, my city found me and put me on stages. When he said that, it made me think of my time in comedy, the early days, where I was feeling like the comedy community felt like a community. Felt like, sure, there's white, black, Asian, Muslim, whatever the fuck, all kinds of comedians. And the one trait we share together is our ability to go on stage and make people laugh. Like, there was something special about that shit. That's probably the that moment, the support that I was getting from the local comedians, combined with all those times I've been on stage. Actually, yeah, I've been on stage. Okay. I've been on stage and made people laugh. Actually, I still remember, I have this joke. So it didn't come out right? There's a comedian in Ottawa, local comedian, and he's like a roaster. And I'm not going to say his name because he's going to take it. He might take it the wrong way. It's fucking funny. He's known for being, like, he roasts. There's something about his ability to roast people. He's probably the one roaster I'm like, okay, let him roast me. Everyone else, you'll die. But him, there's something about the way he does it. It's not just funny, but it feels sincere. No, I'm not trying to be an ass. I'm trying to make you laugh. Anyways, so we were talking, and I said, we were talking about the concept of resting bitch face. And I said, is there a word for resting bitch face for men? And there's a white guy, and he goes, yeah, it's called being black. I said, black people don't smile. Now, I laugh while being like, oh, fuck you. And then I go to Toronto to do the Nubian show, to do a comedy show, and I get on stage, and I see this sea of black folks. Again, not used to, I'm from fucking Ottawa. I'm used to getting on stage, a bunch of crackers. I'm like, eh, let's make a joke about how I'm the only black guy in here, whatever, right? So I get on stage, and I'm like, oh, wow. You niggas need to learn how to smile. But I remembered, okay, what I'm saying is I remembered homeboy making that joke, but I also remember, because I did a good job. I was the first on stage. I made everyone laugh. It was probably one of the highlights of my time doing comedy, making the Nubian show laugh. And I felt how all those open mics, all those times I did the stages, all the jokes I did in Ottawa, and all those comedians who, hey, yo, that was a good joke. You might want to add, you know, like, hey, you should add this punchline, or use the blah, blah, blah suggestions, and, you know, the support I got. I felt like I had Ottawa on the, like, everyone, the city of Ottawa was behind me when I was on that stage. I guess I was proud of being from Ottawa in that moment. But in that moment, I felt like my city found me and put me on stages. Then I come back, George Floyd happens, and I'm back to hitting white people. it's probably some therapeutic show. I guess, like, what I'm saying is I need to get back to that feeling of when I was on that stage at the Nubian show in Toronto. No, I won't say I need to. But I want to be able to be one of those people who says, my city found me and put me on stages. Right now, I feel like my city, I feel like Cinderella. And, before the Godmother. And Ottawa is like the mean step bitches, stepsisters, saying, no, we're going to the ball. Your ass is staying here to cook and clean. And that's where that hate comes from. I don't know if that makes sense but I know it makes a lot of sense to me what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I saw something. I feel like I didn't saw something. Again, I'm going to remind you, on this podcast, I don't offer actual solutions. I just talk shit out, and maybe I say things that's worth comparing notes with. Maybe I said something that you thought of. Maybe you've got a solution. Maybe we've reached the same conclusion. Maybe we're at the same empath. But in the end, we're trying to heal. All right. This concludes today's episode. Goddamn, I'm tired. What time is it? All right, okay. 1 minute left. Okay, let me wrap this up. This concludes today's episode. I would love to hear if you got your thoughts, any thoughts about what I just said in today's episode. Just go to shutuppodcast.com. Just go to the website. This same website, you can find the RSS feed. So like, if you like this podcast, you want to subscribe, you go to the website and you'll find the RSS feed that'll allow you to subscribe. You can also email me at shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. And yeah, again, if you're the shy type, just send me a message with the 5 letters, ping, and that's the way of letting me know that, Be Black, I hear you. I know what you're saying. Keep doing what you're doing. All right. Thank you for listening, and please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.